In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I am glad to be with you today. I have been thinking about the word evangelization. Evangelization. It's a word that the church throws around, but I worry about the fact that we can throw the word around, but we don't know what it really means. So, I'm going to tell you what St. Augustine said. St. Augustine told us that we, the church, are fed at two tables, the table of the Word and the table of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We are fed at two tables. I am also going to tell you that most Catholics have been sacramentalized and not evangelized. What do I mean by that? Well, they were baptized as babies, which is fine if your parents are going to live the faith. And then they received penance, which is fine because we are to confess our sins. Then they received Most Holy Communion, which is wonderful, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then they receive confirmation. And then they fly away, and we never see them again. Why? Because they were sacramentalized and not evangelized. What do I mean by being evangelized? You are brought to the cross. You are brought to Jesus. And Jesus comes into your life in a brand new way. This can happen when you're 5. This can happen when you're 40. This can happen when you're 70. But it is a commitment of giving your life over to the person of Jesus Christ. Now, in the document of evangelization in the modern world by Paul VI, he tells us that every generation must be evangelized. And that evangelization, bringing people to Christ and Christ to people, must start with the church, not with the pygmies, but with the church. And that's real. We need to be evangelized. We need to be brought to Jesus. Jesus needs to become part of a person's life, the center of the person's life. Remember what Psalm 127 says, "If the Lord does not build the house, they labor in vain who build it. If the Lord does not watch over the city, in vain does the city, the man who watches it, it's in vain." So I'm telling you that to bring people to Christ and Christ to people. I'm going to tell you how it happened in my life, okay? And this is just an example of how the Lord became real to me. When I was a child, the Lord was always very real to me. I knew him personally as a child. But then I grew up and I started to have a lot of doubts. I worked at a Catholic institution, helping them out every day, 5 days a week, and I was having tremendous doubts about Jesus. I didn't realize that I could share these doubts with people because everybody has doubts. I didn't know that. How could I know that everyone has doubts? No one ever talked about their doubts. But the Lord seemed to be, running through my hands like sand. So I was invited to go to a Bible vigil in Lawrence one time. And that is where the Lord became real to me, in that community. Jesus Christ came into my life as a new experience, as a person who truly loved me and gave his life for me. Jesus became real. And it was the job of the Holy Spirit to make Jesus real to me, and he did. That is the way I experienced new life in Christ, or as Protestants say, born again, as Jesus say, born again, as Paul says, becoming a new creation. So that's how it happened to me. It doesn't happen all the time when people are in church. They have to be confronted with the gospel. Like a question we need to ask people, do you know Jesus? I did not say, do you know about Jesus? I said, do you know Jesus? And you know, they'd look at you and they'd say, what do you mean? Have you ever experienced Jesus? And I'm going to tell you, some people have had wonderful experiences and have never shared it with anyone because they thought people would think they were crazy. Have you ever experienced Jesus? And if a person has experienced Jesus, they know it. This little boy that was so fresh in my class, I asked him if he ever experienced Jesus. He said, my father was in an accident. I was pinned in the back seat. And Jesus came to me and said, John, don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. I said to John, how do you know it was Jesus? He says, I knew it was Jesus. Has that ever happened to you before? No, but I knew it was Jesus and I had no worries because he was with me. I'm going to tell you, that was the beginning of a journey. He might be listening to me now. The beginning of a journey is really good, but we have to grow in our faith. I've asked people if they've experienced Jesus, and sometimes they say, no, I've never experienced Jesus. I don't know him. I said, you know what one of the Psalms happened to say? We did it this weekend on Sunday. The Psalm says, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. It does not say think and wonder. It says taste and see the goodness of the Lord, which means we can experience God. We can experience Jesus. Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. The word know has to do with Adam knew Eve, and they gave it a name in 9 months. Adam knew Eve, and in 9 months they gave it a name. To know God is to have personal experience with the Lord, with Jesus, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. And if a person has had that experience, they know it. I don't have to tell them about it. They know it. I remember when a sister came to me, she had taught the classics in school, in college. She taught Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross. She taught all their writings, and she knew them backwards and forwards. She was a big lady, and I said to her, sister, have you ever met Jesus? And she had a brogue, and she said, never met the man. I said, come on now, you taught John of the Cross. You taught Teresa of Avila. You taught these books. You taught what they had to say. Did you meet the Jesus that Teresa of Avila met? Did you ever meet the Jesus that John of the Cross met? And she looked at me. Now she's angry. She said, I told you no. I've never met the fellow, but I want to. I want to meet him. So I said, okay. I said, now is the time. And, you know, this lady, you know, she would have packed a good punch. And I would be on the floor. This is a big woman. This is a woman that didn't fool around with her words. I never met the fella talking about Jesus. So I said, okay, sister, we're going to do something very simple right now. I know I'm not a college teacher, but we're going to do something very simple right now. I said, go outside the library and knock on the door. So she went outside and knocked on the door, and I invited her in. I said, now, sister, what did just what did we just do? I went outside, knocked on the door, and you invited me in. Very good. Isn't that wonderful? Well, Jesus says, I stand at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. We're going to just invite Jesus to come in. Very simple. I said, Dad, what I want you to do is to pray with me these words. Then I don't want you to try, because Jesus wants to come in and he wants to change your life. So we prayed, Jesus, and she repeated, Jesus, you're knocking on the door of my heart. You're knocking on the door of my heart. I invite you into my life. I invite you into my life. Forgive all my sins. Forgive all my sins. Fill me with more love than I've ever had. Fill me with more love than I've ever had. Be my Lord. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you died on the cross for me. And you've been raised from the dead. And you've been raised from the dead. I said, now, sister, be quiet. And I just continued to pray, and I was praying silently in the Holy Spirit. I was praying in tongues. And I'm going to tell you, that was the beginning of her life of faith. Before, she knew about God, but now she met him. To know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Not to know about, but to know. Now, I know that's not the only way to introduce people to Jesus. As I said, I was introduced to Jesus in a believing community. That should be the place where people meet Jesus, in a believing community. How many churches do we have throughout the country? How many churches do we have throughout the country? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. How many churches give people the invitation to meet Jesus? You see, if you don't meet him, you can't live for him. If you don't know him, you can't pour your life out for him. If he's just a historical person like George Washington, you've never met him, and he wants to be real. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Not think and wonder, but taste and see. I call it Hot Fudge Sunday knowledge. What do you mean by that? I have a person in front of me who never had a Hot Fudge Sunday, and I'd say to him, would you like a Hot Fudge Sunday? And he or she looks at me and says, what's a Hot Fudge Sunday? So I tell them it's got ice cream. I like chocolate ice cream. And on the chocolate ice cream, they pour out hot fudge. And they give you whipped cream and nuts on top of that. And that's a Hot Fudge Sunday. They say, well, it doesn't mean anything to me because I've never had ice cream. I don't know what hot fudge says. I do know what nuts are. I don't know what cream happens to be. So what would you do if you wanted this person to know what a Hot Fudge Sunday is all about? You'd say, let's go to Brigham's. Let's go to Friendly's. Let's go to the beach, and I'll get you a Hot Fudge Sunday at Kelly's. Then they taste the Hot Fudge Sunday, and now they know what a Hot Fudge Sunday tastes like. It's the same thing with God. There is experiential knowledge. We can taste and see that the Lord is good. I can talk to you about Jesus till I'm blue in the face. But unless you meet him, doesn't make any sense. He's just a historical figure. Unless you meet the Lord through faith, of course through faith, by his grace, you don't know him. You only know about him. Evangelization has to do with knowing Jesus Christ, with meeting Jesus Christ, and with growing in that knowledge. And that knowledge is not only head knowledge. That knowledge is the knowledge of the heart. That knowledge is the knowledge that he promises, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Now, how does the church respond to her knowing Christ? I'm going to read a psalm to you. This is a psalm that's prayed every morning. This is how the church responds to her Lord. Every morning. Most people have no idea because they still don't know who Jesus is. They've not met him. But this is what it says. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let us sing. Let us praise him. That's what it says. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you give me food. Thank you that you give me parents. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you've trusted me with the radio ministry. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, that you came to me when I needed you most. Thank you, God, that you've never left me. And let us make another joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah! I'm going to tell you. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why don't you, no one's in the house with you. Why don't you just start singing hallelujah out loud. Sing it the way you want to sing it. Because if you know him, you want to please him. And he loves it when we praise him. He loves it. He doesn't need our praise, but he loves that we praise him. Okay, make another joyful noise unto the Lord. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. He is above all gods. There is no other God but God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is above all the gods that aren't even real. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. In his hands are the depths of the earth. And he made the mountains as well. He formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, yes, bow down, bow low because you're in the presence of a holy God. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Let us get on our knees and kneel before him because he is our Creator, and more than that, he is our Redeemer. He redeemed Israel through the sea, and he redeems us through the blood of Jesus. For he is our God, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. That means God speaks. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Harden not your hearts as in Meribah, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me to improve me and saw my works. 40 years I endured that generation. I'm going to tell you, that scripture is an awful scripture. That God says he endured Israel for 40 years in the desert. What does he say about the church? What does he say about the local church? I hope he's not saying, you've been there 125 years and I've endured you. Because people come and they still don't know my son. People come and they've never met Jesus. You read the document on evangelization, but you have no idea how to bring people to Christ and Christ to people. 40 years I endured that generation. Let me just tell you, we have it far better than Israel because God became a human being in the womb of the Virgin Mary. 40 years I endured that generation. Then it says, they are a people who do not know my ways. Imagine, the ways of God, the ways of God, I'm telling you, to know the ways of God are so much better than the ways of man. God intervenes in history to know the ways of God. Some people have no idea about the ways of God. Me being on this radio station is one of the ways of God. He opened the door for me. He opened a door for me. And I seized that door. He said, you can go to St. Louis and preach. I said, but I can't. But you can go on the radio. You can go to Phoenix, Arizona and preach. But Lord, I didn't know anybody in Phoenix at that time. But you can do it on the radio. You can go to Rhode Island and preach via the radio. These are the ways of God. God opening the doors for us, not only to preach, but I tell you, our church at one time was in need of benches. We had just painted the church, cost us a lot of money, but it was done so well. And you know what happened? We had no benches. And so I was going to buy seats, and that was going to cost me $60,000. That was years and years ago. And so I said to the Lord, I said, it's your money that we have. We tithe our money. But Lord, do you want me to buy those benches? If not, send somebody to me who has benches. And you know what? It wasn't a week that I was at New Hampshire with Rose Finnegan and a couple of people, and we got a call from sister, and one of the sisters said, we have been given all these benches. We don't need them. Do you know anyone who needs them? I said, I need them. They sent me a picture of the benches. I said, you don't have to. They're going to fit. How do you know they're going to fit? Because I've been praying that these benches would come to me, and they came to me. I only prayed it once, and these are God's benches, and he's sending them to us. These are the ways of God, that God works through divine providence. Through his providence, he supplies things. I know he does. I know he does. I've experienced it. I've experienced divine providence. You know, I've experienced it, that God is a provider, that when we are in need, he gives us what we need. Now, if he didn't give me those benches, I would have bought them. But there was no need to buy them because somebody else gave them to us, and they fit perfectly in the church. It's amazing. It's amazing. Even as I retell the story, it's an amazing story. God knew we needed those benches, and he had those benches sent to us cash on delivery, you know? Not really, because we didn't pay a penny for them. That's the way God is. He opens doors to know the ways of God. 40 years I endured that generation. I said there are people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. They don't know my ways. Isn't it sad that I have people listening to me that they don't know the ways of God? Isn't it sad that there are ministers and priests that don't know the ways of God? I'm going to tell you, one of the ways of God is to make you inconvenienced. He doesn't care about your schedule. He cares about people coming to know him. And I'm going to tell you, he doesn't care about our schedule. He sometimes inconveniences us, and he says, what are you going to do with this divine inconvenience? If I'm a person who lives in my life A, B, C, it's so structured, I'm going to tell you, God can come to my rectory and I won't even notice that it's God himself, that it's Christ himself, because I have a schedule I have to keep, and I'm going to keep it whether I live or whether I die. God tells us, Jesus tells us, if you want me, you make your life available to me and be subject to being inconvenienced. That's it. That's it. Evangelization is coming to know him, Jesus, and the Father in the power of the Spirit. That's what evangelization is, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And then if he is good, to acclaim his goodness, to sing unto the Lord, to make a joyful noise unto him, to thank him for all he gives us, especially giving us Jesus,
to bow down and worship him, to get on our knees and praise him, to hear his voice. For my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. I do thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time, proclaiming the word of God. Have you been evangelized? If not, you don't know him, pray with me. Just a simple prayer. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come and dwell in my heart by faith. Save me, Lord, and I am saved. Heal me, Lord, and I am healed. Give me your Holy Spirit. Flood me with that gift of the Holy Spirit. Forgive all my sins, because they're many. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Tell him, I love you, Lord. Tell him, I love you, Jesus. Tell him, say it out loud. I love you, Jesus. I love you, you're wonderful. I love you, you're worthy of all praise. I love you, Lord. I do thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. I have no idea who snaps me on. I have no idea who snaps me on, but I know God knows who snapped me on today, who needed to hear that message. Please, we are $17,000 behind in paying last month's bills. I do need to hear from people. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Just know that you are loved with an everlasting love. Know that God will never forsake you or reject you. Maybe everybody has rejected you. Everybody has forsaken you. But the Lord is not like everybody else. He loves you. He loves you with an eternal love. Again, the address is in season and out of season. Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Evangelization has to do with meeting Christ Jesus. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.